Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this edition of At the Rim. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NBA. On this edition of the program, we'll give you this year's NBA All-Star Game rosters and also give you an update on the trade deadline. That's all coming up on the program, and also a tribute to the Black Mamba. But first, I'd like to start off with my top three storylines. I'd like to start off talking about the continuing saga and the rivalry between Steph Curry and LeBron James. Stephen Curry and LeBron James, two dynamic players, two completely different players. One player represents speed and sharp shooting, while another player represents brute strength and also taking it to the house and using power dunks and also having a shooting range. No matter the teams, whether Stephen Curry is with Golden State or LeBron's time in Cleveland and currently with the Los Angeles Lakers, these two have made for some drama and for some must-see TV for a long time. These two gentlemen played each other four times in the NBA Finals. LeBron beating Stephen once, and of course, Stephen beating LeBron three times. And also, they've had some really good games against one another, particularly last year in last year's playoff run when both teams went the distance with the Lakers moving on to the Western Conference Finals. We talk about the emergence of the youth movement, quote-unquote, in the NBA with the likes of a Zion Williamson, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, also with the likes of a Victor Wembanyama, just to name a few, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. But you got to remember, it's the veterans that can still handle their business. And if you watch the game, which was nationally televised on January the 27th between the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers, and it went to double overtime, it showed that Stephen Curry and LeBron James are two of the best in the business in the NBA. LeBron is 39. Okay. Because I don't see 39. I see a guy that is still at the peak of his powers right now and still can get it done night in, night out, game in, game out. Stephen Curry, hey, you know what he brings to the table, right? He's 35. Guess what? No signs of slowing down anytime soon. But that game on January the 27th between the Lakers and the Warriors, specifically with Stephen and LeBron, showed you that these two masters at work are far from done. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, the NBA's continue to push the youth movement, and rightfully so. However, these two veterans can still get it done. And they're not playing like veterans. They're playing, they could play, knock on wood, pending injury, could be another 3 to 5 years, depends on how they're feeling. But on January the 27th of 2024, if you watch that game, it was phenomenal. It went to double overtime. The Lakers beat the Warriors 145 to 144. LeBron James was sensational, triple-double, 36 points, 20 rebounds, 12 assists. Despite the loss, Stephen Curry, 46 points. I mean, 46 points, phenomenal, right? I mean, sharp shooting, playing solid defense, taking it to the house, driving to the basket, making key layups. Listen, the ages, hey, LeBron may be 39, Stephen may be 35, but guess what? They're not playing like it. As I stated earlier, these two gentlemen are at the peak of their powers, and this is a rivalry that we've loved for so long, and we're going to continue to love it for a long time. And we have to cherish this because we don't know how many years we're going to have of this. But bottom line is this: LeBron and Steph, they are still at the peak of their powers, and they're not stopping anytime soon. My next storyline is going to be Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton, I talked about Stephen Curry and LeBron James and how those two superstars, those two veterans are still at the peak of their powers at the top of the NBA. Tyrese Haliburton represents the youth movement, the rising stars in the league with the likes of a Zion Williamson, Victor Wembanyama, also a Trae Young, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, just to name a few, a Tyrese Maxey. But recently, Haliburton made some interesting comments about the 65-game rule. He says that the rule is stupid. I say this, quote, "I think it's a stupid rule, like plenty of the guys in the league, but this is what the owners want. So as players, we got to do our job and play in 65 games if we're able to," end quote. All right. Personally, I'm a fan of the 65-game rule. To be quite honest with you, I really think they should have expanded it to at least 70 games. Now, for those of you that are probably saying, well, what is the 65-game rule, Ed? Well, I'm glad you asked. Starting this year, in this current 2023-2024 NBA season, the NBA introduced the 65-game rule, which requires players to participate in a minimum of 65 games and to play at least 20 minutes in each of those games to be eligible for off-season awards such as MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, All-NBA, and All-Defense Teams. That is the 65-game rule. Now, for Tyrese to say something like that, first of all, I mean, it's beneficial for the players because I know there's something in there where there are bonuses involved in the 65-game rule. But I give credit for the league creating the 65-game rule and making it wonderful for the fans. In these tough economic times and with inflation, whether you have a big family, whether it's a family of three or a family of four, a family of five, or you come from a family that's bigger than five, you have to remember the economic times are tough. Economic times are even tough for people that are married and don't have children, or just people that are single. Economic times are tough. Inflation is real. So for fans that want to treat themselves, or families that want to treat themselves to an NBA game, they want to see their stars. They want to see Joel Embiid. They want to see Stephen Curry. They want to see LeBron James. They want to see Zion Williamson. They want to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They want to see a Victor Wembanyama or a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown or a Nikola Jokic or Jamal Murray, just to name a few. And the fans deserve it. The fans have been at the mercy for so long, for quite a while now, of these players sitting out due to rest, not any serious or substantial injuries. Something had to give. And I like this rule. I think the rule should be should have been more like 70 games. But again, it has to go back to the way it was before. When you saw Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Julius Irving, Scottie Pippen, John Stockton, just to name a few, those guys that played night in and night out, if they had minor injuries, they still gave the fans their money's worth. So Tyrese, I'm sorry that you feel this way, but it is what it is, man. The fans deserve it. The fans come out and want to see you and the rest of the Pacers play. They want to see you and the rest of the current stars and the rising stars in the NBA play. And you owe that to the fans. The players owe that to the fans. Remember, tough times economically. All fans want to do is enjoy their NBA basketball. They have their tickets. They pay their hard-earned money for the tickets. They've paid their hard-earned money to get their food and their drinks. And also, if they're driving to the game, they paid for their parking passes. Also, if they took public transportation, they paid money for their public transportation passes. Remember, the fans are deserving of it. Tyrese, I'm sorry that you feel this way, my brother, but hey, it is what it is. You owe it to the fans. And finally, my last storyline is going to be Joel Embiid. So Joel was on his way to possibly winning back-to-back league MVPs, was already having an incredible first half of the year until recently he suffered a meniscus injury in his left knee on February 1st in the game against the Golden State Warriors. Jonathan Kuminga from the Warriors fell on his knee diving for a ball in a game. And that hurts his chances of possibly winning a back-to-back MVP. Treatment was done, and he's going to miss multiple games. There's no timetable for his return as of yet, but in Embiid's absence, Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris are going to have to carry the weight because Joel Embiid, a league MVP, multiple All-Star, means so much to that team. And remember, this is a make-or-break year for the 76ers. Boston, red hot in the Eastern Conference during the first half of the year. Miami is always on Boston's heels. Well, I should say Miami's not just on Boston's heels, but on Philadelphia's heels as well. The Milwaukee Bucks starting to get back on winning ways. They have a new head coach with Doc Rivers after Adrian Griffin was fired. So for the 76ers to lose Embiid is devastating. We don't know his timetable for his return, but they're saying there's a chance that he will be back this year. Most likely could be after the All-Star break, maybe late February, early March. That's what I'm going to say, but we don't know as of yet what the timetable is. But Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris and crew, they're going to have to hold it down because Joel Embiid, man, was just on his way to possibly a back-to-back MVP seasons, and to now have this meniscus injury in his left knee is tough. But you know Joel's history. When he's solid, when he's healthy, he is unstoppable. But he's had his share of injuries dealing with knees and his feet. And, you know, the knees and his feet for the first several years of his NBA career have been plagued with injuries. Also had issues with his back for a brief period of time. So, big fella, Philly needs you. The NBA needs you. Come back strong because the 76ers are going to need him right after the All-Star break to make that playoff push. All right, some more news to pass along to you now. The NBA trade deadline has come and gone. And so some interesting moves were made. We had Brooklyn and Toronto, they made a trade. The Brooklyn Nets are going to receive Dennis Schroeder and Thaddeus Young, and the Toronto Raptors are going to receive Spencer Dinwiddie. It looks like Toronto is, I think, in my opinion, won this trade because you got to remember, Toronto, they already have Scottie Barnes. They locked down R.J. Barrett right around the holidays. And so Toronto also got some picks as well. So Toronto needed an offensive threat. Spencer Dinwiddie can get them solid shooting. Also, from time to time, he can be effective behind the arc shooting the three-pointers. As far as Brooklyn is concerned, again, Brooklyn continuing to get, I would say, somewhat younger. Dennis Schroeder, currently, you could say, is still in the prime of his career. A very athletic Thaddeus Young. You know his playing style. Very athletic, plays above the rim. He's been playing like that since he's been in the league. But I think Toronto got the better end of this trade. Spencer Dinwiddie, very experienced. Somebody, again, that has range, someone that can shoot, and a decent defender. Not a lockdown defender, but he's a decent defender. But the Nets and the Raptors made a deal with Brooklyn receiving Dennis Schroeder and Thaddeus Young, and the Toronto Raptors receive Spencer Dinwiddie. The Charlotte Hornets are going to get Seth Curry, Grant Williams, and Dallas's 2027 protected first-round pick, while the Mavericks are going to receive P.J. Washington, Boston's second round pick in 2024 and a 2028 second round pick. So Charlotte continuing to add some experience. Grant Williams, you know his play, a solid shooter, definitely a presence in the paint when it comes to rebounding and being a solid defender. Seth Curry, hey, I talked about his brother Stephen earlier, but Seth, somebody is a solid shooter, a cagey veteran, and Charlotte's going to need that because that team is very young. Also, some important trades to pass along to you. The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to get Gordon Hayward. Big move for Oklahoma City because that team is very young. You got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Listen, one of the rising stars in the NBA, Shea, is, SGA, he is a star on the rise. What more can you say about him? That team is very young, and Gordon Hayward is somebody that's got that experience. He's somebody that's definitely going to make his presence felt in OKC. Also, some trade news to pass along to you. The New York Knicks have Bojan Bogdanovic and also Alec Burks. That's big for them because they're going to need some shooting, especially from Bogdanovic in this on their team, because the Knicks and the Pistons made that deal happen. While the Pistons are going to get Malachi Flynn, also Evan Fournier, and a couple of second-round picks. They get a second-round pick in 2028 and in 2029. But big move for the Knicks, landing Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks. Also, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to get Patrick Beverley, while the 76ers are going to get Cameron Payne and a second-round pick in 2027 from Milwaukee. So you have to remember now, Milwaukee, offensively, you know about Giannis, you know about Dame Dollar, Chris Middleton is there, but they need some defense. And Patrick Beverley, not only is he a solid defender, but he's one of the agitators in the league. If you don't know about PBev, look him up, because he's certainly a guy that is an agitator amongst being an agitator. That is for sure. Also, we had Ochai Agbaji and Kelly Olynyk going to the Toronto Raptors, while the Utah Jazz are going to receive Kira Lewis Jr., Otto Porter Jr., and a 2024 first-round pick. And then Buddy Hield is going to be going to the Philadelphia 76ers. That's big for the Sixers. They land Cameron Payne, who is a solid shooter. And when you get Buddy Hield, somebody who can score in volume, that is huge. With the Embiid injury, they needed more offense. And certainly when you put Buddy Hield in the mix, and then you have Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris, it's definitely something to watch for after the All-Star break. And then whenever Embiid comes back from his injury, we'll see how that all plays out. Also, while the All-Star rosters have been announced, it's going back to its original format with the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference. I like that format. I mean, Team LeBron, Team Steph, Team Giannis, that was really good for a season, but I'm so glad that Eastern Conference versus Western Conference is back. So we have our starters for the Eastern Conference. The guards will be Tyrese Halliburton from the Indiana Pacers, and we have Damian Lillard from the Milwaukee Bucks. The forwards are going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks and Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics. And the center is Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers. However, he will be unable to play due to an injury. So the reserves are going to be Jalen Brunson from the New York Knicks, Tyrese Maxey from the Philadelphia 76ers, Donovan Mitchell from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics, Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic, Julius Randle from the New York Knicks. Julius won't be participating due to injury. And we have Bam Adebayo from the Miami Heat. Now, the replacements for Embiid and Randle will be Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks and Scottie Barnes from the Toronto Raptors. And the head coach for the Eastern Conference is going to be Doc Rivers from the Milwaukee Bucks. And then for the Western Conference, the starters will be, first for the guards, Luka Doncic representing the Dallas Mavericks, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander representing the Oklahoma City Thunder. The forwards, Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns, LeBron James representing the Los Angeles Lakers, going to his 20th All-Star game. Man, consistency, you gotta love it, man. LeBron continued to be a master at work. And at the center position, representing the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. And our reserves are going to be Devin Booker from the Phoenix Suns, Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, Anthony Edwards from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Paul George from the Los Angeles Clippers, also representing the Los Angeles Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Karl Anthony Towns from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Anthony Davis from the Los Angeles Lakers. And the head coach of the Western Conference will be Chris Finch from the Minnesota Timberwolves. So there you have it. We have our All-Star game set. We have our rosters. It's returning to its original Eastern Conference versus Western Conference format. And also, of course, you know, the NBA All-Star Weekend is upon us. And also, something different. We're going to have a Stephen versus Sabrina. That's right. Stephen Curry will go up against Sabrina Ionescu. Of course, Sabrina represents the New York Liberty of the WNBA. And the gentleman and lady will compete against each other in a three-point challenge, with Curry shooting from the NBA three-point line with NBA-sized basketballs, and Ionescu will be shooting from the WNBA three-point line with WNBA-sized basketballs. So this should be interesting. I know they've been on social media for quite a while, having shots, verbal exchanges, all in fun, very friendly, and it's going to happen All-Star Weekend with Stephen versus Sabrina. And, of course, there's the Celebrity Game, also the Rising Stars Challenge. You also have of course, the skills challenge, the slam dunk contest, and then you have the three-point contest. So it's always going to be a fun NBA All-Star weekend. It's going to be fantastic, taking place in Indianapolis this year. Not just the city, but the state of Indiana. It's Hoosier, right? It's the Hoosier state, and Indiana's also known for its rich basketball history, and certainly it's going to be a fun NBA All-Star weekend in Indianapolis. And that's going to do it for this edition of At the Rim. Until next time, everybody, I'm Matt Robinson saying so long, and we'll leave you now with audio courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, and Spectrum Los Angeles. This week, Kobe Bryant was honored with a statue, and Vanessa Bryant spoke on behalf of her husband, the late, great Kobe Bryant. Number 8, number 24, no matter the number, he did his thing. Rest in peace to the Black Mamba. Until next time, so long, everyone.
Thank you. It goes without saying that today is an especially sad day for us, since Kobe and Gigi aren't here for what is supposed to be an incredibly joyous moment in Kobe's legacy. I want to thank you all for being here and showing your love and support for Kobe and our family. I'm thankful for all of the fans, including those watching and supporting from home. Kobe has so many people that have supported him all over the world from the very beginning. And this moment isn't just for Kobe, but it's for all of you that have been rooting for him all of these years. And to the fans here in LA, this is a special city Kobe was so proud to represent. You welcomed him with open arms and have been so important to him, our family, and his legacy. It brings me joy to see how much love you have for all of us. We love you back. I'd also like to thank Jeannie and Linda for their hard work in helping me with the statue and in making this day possible. So much goes into this process, and I'm really grateful for everyone that helped make this special day happen. For the record, Kobe picked the pose you're about to see. So if anyone has any issues with it, tough ish. It is what it is. Because fans all over the world and the City of Angels loved Kobe so much, he will have 3 statues in front of the arena, also known as the house that Kobe built. One wearing the number 8, one with our beautiful daughter Gianna, and one wearing the number 24. As I see today's current generation of star players following Kobe's footsteps with huge scoring games, I know he would take pride in knowing that he is still pouring inspiration into the game that was so special to him. I don't want to reveal too much about the statue before you see it, so I'll leave you with one of my husband's amazing quotes. Leave the game better than you found it, and when it comes time for you to leave, leave a legend. And that he did.
Welcome back to Good Advice with me, the BR Telco Operator. Caller, you're on.
I need to know there's something better out there for me. At this rate, I'll never be happy.
Let me guess. Broken promises. Feels like it's never going to pay off?
Exactly.
It sounds like you need the BR Telco Gold Card. With its low rate, no balance transfer fees, and real-time card controls, it'll be love at first swipe.
I was talking about my boyfriend.
Oh, well, games aren't good in love or finance.
Save on high-rate credit card balances today. Apply now at brtelco.org/transfer. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.
Trying to get home to stream that highly anticipated series finale? Well, it may take longer with T-Mobile 5G home internet. You could be stuck with slower speeds during the busiest hours because you share your network with cell phone users. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Plus, Cox offers free panoramic Wi-Fi equipment and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Why not switch? Visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.